Welcome back to His Time. It is Monday morning, July 28th. Monday means it is time to check in with Pastor Joshua Shearer at Brothers of John the Steadfast. Good morning, Pastor Shearer. How are you today?
Good morning, Andy. Doing well.
Good. Good to have you back.
Well, yeah, it's good to be back.
Tell us what's going on at Brothers of John the Steadfast this week.
All right. Well, this week we had a number of good articles put up. I want to focus on a couple of them. One I wrote myself, and it was about suffering. That as a parish pastor, I encounter a lot of times questions about the nature of God and suffering and tribulation or sadness or anything like that. As dear Christians experience the various crosses that they face during life, whether it's sickness or health issues and things like that, or familial issues, issues of sinning against one another, all the different things that can happen in this fallen world that just makes everything kind of a mess. And I wrote this article entitled, God, My Loving Savior, Send Them. That the idea of God sending suffering, the title comes from one of my favorite hymns, which is, Why Should Cross and Trial Grieve Me? Which you'll find in the Lutheran Service Book under hymn 756, but the older versions actually have longer editions of the hymn. But there's several points in there in which the famed Lutheran hymn writer Paul Gerhardt, where he essentially takes suffering and trial and sadness and things like that, and he lays them squarely at the feet of God. That is, that they come from God. And that might strike some people as very odd, especially in today's day and age. I think it's where this, a lot of folks want to go is to say something like, you know, God allows suffering. In fact, you know, they'll go to the book of Job or something like that and say, oh, see, you know, and Satan had to ask and then God had to give permission and he allowed it to happen. And yet, it's God who, you know, brings up Job. Hey, if you considered my child or my son servant Job. And then when Job confesses things, he says, you know, the Lord gives and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. That he understands things in terms of suffering is coming from God. Now, that's frightening if you don't know who God is. If you want to stay in the darkness and just kind of ponder thoughts about this deity and who apparently sends suffering, that gets very dark, very dangerous, scary. In all honesty, it gets kind of worthless as it reminds you of your creatureliness and that there's a creator and you're a creature and you're kind of at his whim. But of course, we as Christians don't have just that. You know, if God sends me sadness, then it's going to be the same God who sent me Jesus. And so, sending sadness, sending suffering is not a frightening thing. Because somehow, this is the same God who saw my state as a fallen, trapped in sin, under the power of the devil, and sent his only begotten Son to rescue me. And not just rescue me by some, you know, wonderful victory, but to rescue me through suffering himself and through dying and the victory of that and the victory of Easter morning. So this is the God that then sets up all the gifts that I've experienced in my life, whether it's baptism or hearing God's word week after week or receiving that same Son's body and blood for my forgiveness. This is the God that I want to have sending me suffering, because then I can get a little bit of understanding that if this God who has loved me this much is now laying this cross upon me, then okay. You know, he has shown himself to be faithful. He has shown himself to be merciful and loving and gracious to me in the person and work of Jesus, and then how he has applied that to me in my life through baptism and preaching and the Lord's Supper and so forth. And so now it's okay. That helps me kind of understand it. And so he knows not only that he can send me this stuff, he knows how he's going to relieve me of it, which sometimes the answer might be he'll relieve me of it at the resurrection or at my own death. It's something that's sometimes hard to ponder, and I think you probably would agree, Andy, that a lot of folks might have a real struggle with the idea of God sending suffering or sadness to people. And I think it's much easier when you understand God is the God who gave Jesus. So it's just it's a question of our day. You know, it's the old technical word theodicy, which is really the question of evil. You know, how does evil exist and why does it exist and how is it, you know? And really, in the end, we answer with Luther that the devil is still God's devil. That we're not going to create some dualism here where we've got God versus the devil, and you know, we don't quite know how things are going to turn out. We know how things turn out. We've seen that in Christ Jesus, that God is still God, mm-hmm. and the victory is Christ. And you know, Christ being who he is freely giving that victory out, and he's given it to us in our baptism. And so we look at these sufferings and we look at these sadnesses, and we can't lose focus on him. Because if we want to lose focus on him and ponder things in the dark, that's exactly where we'll end up. Whereas if we keep our focus on Christ and what he's done, you know, there's another word that comes up here, and you'll see it sometimes. Some churches might be named it Ebenezer, mm-hmm. and it comes from another hymn. In which, you know, here I raise my Ebenezer, which sounds really strange to people nowadays. but the concept is it's from 1 Samuel, and it says, you know, that God has been faithful to you for all your days up till now. You know, the implication being, why do you concern yourself up right now with how things will be? Because God has been faithful to you all your life. And this kind of concept, this kind of historical trust, and trusting God even based upon how he has cared for you in your life up till now, I think is an extremely important concept and an extremely important thing for our faith to realize just what it is God has done for us. So even now when it seems a little sketchy, when it seems a little, you know, tricky, whether I'm suffering or sadness or things like that are overtaking me, you know, God's been faithful to me. So I'll trust in that still. I think that's a really important lesson that I probably is a lot of times learned only through the actual experience.
And we confess that in the Creed, that he provides me all that I need, right?
Absolutely, all that I need to support this body and life. Mm-hmm. That, you know, this is good stuff from God, as always. And quite a blessing. And speaking of the devil, there's another article I wanted to speak about, and that was an article entitled Who Won Me From All Sins, From Death, and From Who? Of course, mimicking the language of the Catechism there, by Pastor Carl Weber, who writes about the Anglican Church, the Episcopal Church USA, specifically here in the States, that they are removing their references to the devil from their baptismal rites. And so, you know, that the devil will no longer be mentioned during a baptism in the Episcopal Church. Now, this certainly, of course, is not a requirement in baptism. We have the Word of God, that we baptize in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and we have the water, and those are the things that make a baptism. But the baptismal rite, including the devil, is very important theologically because it teaches us whose we were prior to Christ claiming us as his own. And you see that even in some of the questions that happen around the baptismal rite, that do you renounce the devil? Do you renounce all his works? Do you renounce all his ways? That you know, you're coming from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light, that you're being brought there. And so removing the devil is an interesting idea that is a really bad one. And they say that, of course, they're doing it for reasons of people being concerned about the devil and so forth. And I would say that's probably a fake concern, because last time I checked, movies about the devil and movies about demonic things are quite prevalent today, and people are more than eager to entertain thoughts about the devil and so forth. So I think it's quite fitting to have it in our baptismal rites. I don't know what your thoughts are on that with our culture today, Andy, but I think that's a bad reason to take out the devil from the baptismal rite.
Well, sure. Unclean spirit, make way for the Holy Spirit. Yeah.
Exactly. And there you reference there you reference the alternate baptismal rite in Lutheran service book, where it includes the little exorcism, sometimes it's called, of Martin Luther, which kind of emphasizes that very point that, you're being taken from the kingdom of darkness and put into the kingdom of light. And that is, of course, Paul's language that, you know, you're bought with a price and you're not your own anymore. You know, you're under Christ now. And so this is great imagery and helps us to realize, you know, the devil's not in control. So,
amen.
Exactly. I'm into that, no doubt. So that's what we've got, Gordon. A number of different articles going on at Brother John Steadfast. We'll have more coming up again this week. And yes, it is good to be back. Talk with you, Randy.
All right. God be with you. And listeners, check it out, steadfastlutherans.org. Thanks, Pastor Scherer. We'll talk with you again next week.
Lord bless you, Andy.
Thanks, you too. Coming up in just a moment, we're going to check in with Dr. Bob Weiss from Concordia Seminary in St. Louis. Stick around for more of his time right after this on Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.